Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like you didn't have enough experience or the right skill set? Of course you have. We all have. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue with this new series on the book of Jonah called The Manifestation of Your Life Mission, Pastor Rick shows us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to, we don't have to run away from it. Why don't you invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how to live according to the purpose and plan He has for us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can order a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or just by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part three of a message called What to Do When You Get a Second Chance.
A warning is cautionary advice about a danger, a trap, or a problem. That's a warning. When I give cautionary advice about a danger or a trap or a warning or a problem. Now, God built into your body warning systems. And there are certain things that when your body is not healthy, you get a fever, your blood pressure goes up. There are all kinds of signs that doctors take. There are warning signs in your body that things are out of whack. But we often don't even pay attention to our own bodies. We don't listen to what God tells us. We don't listen to what our bodies tell us. We push ourselves too far, too hard. We don't get enough sleep, and on and on and on. So God has to bring people in our lives to warn us. Because we're not smart enough many times to listen to God's warning or even to listen to the warnings of our own body, our own conscience. So God has to bring people in our lives to warn us. You know, as I've traveled all around the world, I have a hobby. One of my hobbies is collecting stupid warning signs. I thought this might be an appropriate time to show you some of my collection, okay, from around the world. So let me just show you a few of these. Here's one. It's a warning sign. Keep your hands out of the machinery. Look at that. That's almost comical, like your fingers are getting smashed. I wasn't afraid of that. I just laughed at it when I saw it because it looked like you're getting all smashed up. Here's another one. If the door does not open, do not enter. That's a very good warning, okay? That's profound. Here's another one. Caution, be aware that the balcony is not on the ground floor. Yeah, so if you lean over, you might fall further than you thought because the balcony's not on the ground floor. Okay, that's kind of obvious. This is funny. I think I took this in Australia. It was a trampoline place. No, it's in England because it's pounds. And then it says, warning, barbed wire in use. I mean, who's going to go on a trampoline that if you jump too high, you run into the barbed wire? I mean, somebody who hates kids, I guess. All right, here, I love this one. Big scary laser. Do not look into beam with remaining eye. Okay, all right, somebody had a sense of humor. All right, big scary laser. This is in Houston. No drowning. This is on a seawall. I'm going, yeah, okay, I'll make sure that, because you told me I won't do it now. All right, no drowning. I mean, make sure. Warning, these peanuts may contain peanuts or peanut byproduct. So eat at your own risk. Enjoy. All right. Okay, so we're not always really smart when we get these warning signs. Here's another one. Oh, you've seen this on the road to Phoenix. State prison, next exit. Do not pick up hitchhikers. I passed that 100 times when I used to go to Kay's parents in Phoenix. And so I shot that picture one day. State prison, next exit. Don't pick up hitchhikers. All right, here's another one. This is in Australia, these toilets. If the towel dispenser is empty, please use your clothes. What? What? Really? I just, and then it said, thank you, the management. Yeah, well, thank me, right. I'm going to go out with, well, my clothes. Oh, this was a really good one. You may be at risk for throat cancer if, and it has three things. Number two is have a throat or mouth. Okay. So if you don't have a throat or mouth, don't worry about this. You will not have throat cancer if you don't have a throat or a mouth. All right. Now, oh, please be safe. Do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on the fences. If you fall, animals could eat you, and that might make them sick. Thank you. All right. I got this one in England. Touching wires causes instant death. $200 fine. As if death is not enough. I want to scare you with the $200 fine. Okay, and then this was one of my favorite. Unattended children will be given an energy drink and taught to swear. So we have all these warning signs in the world because we're not really good at paying attention to warnings. And yet God wants us to humbly accept warnings from other people and humbly and lovingly offer them to people in love. So this is what the fourth thing that Jonah has to do. After walking a day into the city of Nineveh, Jonah warned the people. Now, this mission of warning people is a ministry of every follower of Jesus Christ. And you've probably never been taught this, okay? Warning shows that you love God when you warn other people. It also shows that you love other people. If you knew that a bridge was out and I'm speeding down the country road at 50 miles an hour and you don't tell me that the bridge is out, is that loving? No. No, it's actually hateful. It means you don't love me. If you truly love me, you're going to tell me, hey, Rick, the bridge is out at the end of this road.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. You can call us at 800-600-5004 right now or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
If you knew that a bridge was out and I'm speeding down the country road at 50 miles an hour and you don't tell me that the bridge is out, is that loving? No, it's actually hateful. It means you don't love me. If you truly love me, you're going to tell me, hey, Rick, the bridge is out at the end of this road. If I walk up to the cliff and I'm about to fall off and you go, Rick, you might want to step back a little bit. That ground is unstable there. That's an act of love. Warning is an act of love, not an act of arrogance, not an act of hypocrisy, not an act of superiority, not an act of self-righteousness. Warning is an act of love. And God doesn't tell Jonah, he doesn't say, I want you to go move into the city of Nineveh and be a good example. We'd all like that one. I want you to move to this wicked city and just be a good example. You don't have to say anything, just be a good example. He doesn't tell him that. Part of Jonah's life mission is you're gonna go to this city and you're gonna warn him. You're gonna warn him. It's part of your Christian responsibility. I actually looked this up, and the New Testament has over 100 examples and verses on the ministry or the responsibility of you and me warning other people that we love. Has anybody ever told you that? That's part of your job of following Christ is to warn other people, just like Jonah was told by God to warn? Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 31 says this, "For 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you, night and day," notice, "with tears." Now, why would he warn you with tears? Because he cares about them. You warn because you care. You warn because you love. You warn people because you care about them. Now, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, second half, it says this. So Jonah warned the people. Here's the warning. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Oh, that's a great positive message. In 40 days, the Nineveh will be destroyed. Is this going to be a welcome message? No. Is this going to make Jonah popular? No. Is this how you attract social media friends? No. Now, I want you to notice, Jonah gets this all wrong. Jonah shows no compassion at all. He doesn't have any care for the people of Nineveh. In fact, he doesn't want to be there. We already know that. He hates these people. He's racially prejudiced against them. They are the enemy. He's politically on the opposite side of them. And he's being told to go to his political opponents and tell them and warn them about God. And he doesn't want to warn them. And when he goes to the city of Nineveh, he announces he does the minimum possible. I mean, he announces it in a matter-of-fact tone. He's as brief as possible. In fact, his sermon is only 7 words. Some of you would like a 7-word sermon. But he only has 7 words. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's it. There's no compassion. There's no love. That's about the minimum you can do. And yet God still used it. He had the wrong motivation. He had no love. Jonah, this is very, very different from most prophets. Because most prophets, when they warned people, they give these passionate speeches. And they're long and they're impassioned and they're warning and they're pleading. And Jonah just walks into the city and goes, "You guys are going to die. Bye." That's all he says. He doesn't care 2 bits about this nation or these people. "You guys are going to die. Bye. While I go to the sky, you're going to fry." You know? And this is very, very different. Now, what is Jonah doing? Well, it's as if he's saying to God, "There, God, I did it. Okay? Are you happy now? Okay? I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to go to these people. I don't like these people. But I told them what you said. He said the minimum. He said it with no love." He goes, "There, are you happy now?" He gets it all wrong. And yet still, God used him. Now, why was Jonah so short and so passionless and so unloving in sharing his warning? Because he knew something that you need to know. I want you to write this down. When God gives a warning, write this down. When God gives a warning, it's a good sign. When God gives a warning, it's not a negative sign. It's a good sign because it means he wants to give you another chance. If God doesn't want to give you another chance, he doesn't give you a warning. If God gives you a warning, it means he's going to cut you some slack and give you another chance. It's a good sign. People think warnings are negative. They're actually an example or an illustration or an expression of love. Because you're going, "I'm warning you, and so you won't go through all this pain. You won't go through all these problems." Now, I'm not going to ask for confession or to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have been driving down the street or the freeway one day and you saw a red light in the back of your window. Okay, and you pull over, and the officer comes up and says, "May I see your driver's license?" And you're nervous, and then you fumble around and trying to give an explanation why you're going 90 miles an hour or whatever, and you give this explanation, and then you hear the sweetest words when the officer said, well, today I'm just going to give you a warning. When somebody says, I'm going to just give you, are you happy or sad? You're happy. Why? Because you're not going to be judged. You're not going to jail. You're not paying the fine. You don't get the ticket. The warning is actually good news. I'm just going to let you off with a warning. And when God says to Jonah, I want you to go in and warn him that I'm about to destroy the city, he's saying, I really don't want to destroy the city. If he wanted to, he wouldn't warn him. Does this make sense? It's a good, positive thing, because I'm happy when I get a warning. It means I'm not going to pay the fine. I'm not going to serve the time. I'm not going to whatever, because it's just a warning. Now, you need to realize that if you've had your last chance, you're not going to get a warning. You're not going to get any more warnings if you've used up your last chance. There's not going to be any more warnings. Now, the point is, let me make the point. There's going to be times in your life when you see friends that you love, or family members, or coworkers that you care about, and you see them about to walk off a cliff and lose everything because of a dumb decision. Part of your life mission is to warn them. To warn them. And if you don't, you don't love them. Because love warns. Now, when does God expect you to warn people that you love? When? Well, I went through those over 100 verses in the New Testament this week, and I made a list of all things we're supposed to warn people about. We don't have time for that. But let me just summarize it in two categories. Write these down. When am I supposed to warn people that I love? Number one, when they're not thinking wisely. And number two, when they're not acting wisely. I'm supposed to warn the people I care about when they're not thinking wisely or when they're not acting wisely. Now, this is not your whole life message, but it is a part of it. Just as warning was a part of Jonah's life message. I'm supposed to warn people when they're not thinking wisely or when they're not acting wisely. Now, just in case you think I'm making too big a deal about this, let me take you to another guy, another prophet named Ezekiel. Not the football player, but here's what the Bible says about Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, 1-9. The Lord said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, warn your people by saying this, someday I, the Lord, may send an enemy to invade your country. And suppose you people choose someone to stand watch and sound a warning when the enemy is seen coming. Okay? Now, if you ignore the warning and you're killed in battle, it'll be your own fault, because you could have escaped if you just paid attention, in other words, to the warning. But suppose the person given the mission of watching and warning fails to sound the warning signal. In that case, he says, then I, the Lord, will hold that person responsible for the death of those people. Now, Ezekiel, I have appointed you to stand watch and warn the people of your nation. So listen to what I say and then warn them for me. And here's what God says. When I warn people that they'll die if they keep sinning against me, you got to warn them to turn from their sinful ways. But if you fail to warn them, then I'll hold you responsible for their death. On the other hand, if you do warn them and they ignore you, they'll die because of their sins, but you will be innocent. Wow. Now, that whole passage makes me ask myself and ask you two questions. Have you ever warned anybody about anything spiritual? Have you ever warned anybody about a spiritual or a moral danger? Or were you more interested in being popular than helping them? Were you more afraid of their disapproval than you were in love with God and love them enough to tell them the truth? You're about to walk off a cliff. We live in a nation that is crumbling, that the culture is falling apart. And if believers in Christ don't speak up, who's going to do it? Here's the other question. Who is God going to hold you responsible for one day because you said nothing and let them destroy their lives? You just let them walk off the cliff and you said nothing. This is important. This is not your whole life mission, but it is one facet, one factor in it. Now, there's one more thing that Jonah did, and this is a positive. So here's the number five, okay? If I know God's given me a second chance, and every day is a second chance, then I'm going to live my life with profound gratitude. I'm going to focus my life on God, not myself, and on making my mission a priority, not everything else I was living for. I'm not going to delay. I'm going to obey today, and I'm going to accept my responsibility. Sometimes I have to warn people I love because I love them, and I do it in love, and I accept warnings in humility. Here's the fifth thing. When God gives me another chance, expect God to use me. This is good news. I expect God to use me. See, God doesn't keep you alive for you to live for yourself. He keeps you alive because he wants you to use you. God doesn't keep you alive. He doesn't give you another chance just so you can retire and do nothing.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining for today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In his book called God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick draws simple but profound truths from the Bible, which give you practical guidance for specific types of change. This book connects you to the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, it's always encouraging to hear how Daily Hope helps listeners like you, how it helps you mature in your faith. Let me read you a letter I got just recently from Sherry. She said, Pastor Rick, this ministry has literally saved my life. After a series of disappointments, I had lost all hope, and I saw no reason to go on. And that changed when I discovered Daily Hope. Now I hold on, praying expectantly. You know, that's the little acrostic we use for hope, H-O-P-E. She said, my circumstances have not changed, but my outlook has. And now rather than being depressed about where I am in life, I've learned to be thankful for this time of spiritual growth. I don't know what the Lord has planned for me, but I know it's good, and I look forward to a future walking side by side with Him and using this experience to help others through their own struggles. Gratefully, Sherry. Sherry, I can't tell you how much this letter means to me. You know, God will never let you down. He's with you every step of the way. And thank you so much for writing to me and let me know how God is working in your life. I'm praying for you, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. By the way, thanks everybody for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.